Blog Talk Radio.
Real good.
Goodbye, ladies and gentlemen. We are
it's like butter.
Yeah, okay. You gotta eat butter. Fine. What are you doing?
Thank you, dummies.
Sit down, young man. Get on him all.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of AMP Radio, brought to you as ever by the AMP Radio Network. My name is Proteus. I'll be with you all evening. Unfortunately, we are down one of the fighting four this evening. If Pammy calls in, we will get her on the line. We are here tonight to do Smack My Picks Up for UFC Fight Night 169, also known, if you're keeping track, as UFC on ESPN Plus 27, also known as Benavidez versus Figueroa. Sorry about that. My apologies. So let's go ahead and get into this UFC Fight Night. Before we get into UFC Fight Night 169, let me give you the breakdown of what we're going to do this evening. Again, ladies and gentlemen, this card not very good, except for the top fight on the card, the main event. So we will be again tonight doing main event and everyone's favorite segment of the show, Spotlight Fight of the Night, followed swiftly by the AMP Radio Rewind. So let's go ahead and get into this. UFC Fight Night 169, Benavidez versus Figueroa, UFC on ESPN Plus 27, as I mentioned, will be held February 29th, 2020 at the arena in Norfolk, Virginia, the granddaddy of them all, Marco, as you know. So let's go ahead and get into this. DJ Tony, since Pammy's not here, cue your music. It's Tony time, bitches.
Hey, DJ, yeah.
It's Tony time, bitches.
Oh, the show started. Sorry, Proteus. I was still on Leah McCourt's Twitter follow. We follow her at Leah McCourt MMA. Oh, my gosh. Bellator has a winner
nice
there,
one.
Proteus. Bellator has a winner.
Burning your Twitter follow of the week already at the beginning of the show in the intro. I like it, brother. I like it.
Well, Megan's coming up.
All
you
right.
Got to throw that one.
Right, I got it. So we were talking this morning via the text messages, and I asked you if you were giving up Misha Tate for Lent, and you said, no way, I'm giving up Ronda Rousey's fine ass for Lent. So I thought that was interesting.
We're Ronda Rousey fine-ass self, pro.
That's right. That's what I'm talking about. Right. So let's go ahead and get in this one. Bring in the star himself. Deep from the heart of Texas. It's Marco from Waco, brother.
Marco from Waco, Ruin. Konnichiwa, bitches.
Konnichiwa.
What a weekend of fights. What a weekend.
Yeah, and we're
going to
get into that one.
I know.
Go ahead, Marco.
I know the rewind is coming. The rewind is coming.
Yeah.
And I know. We gotta take care of business first. So let's talk soon about that.
Yes, sir. Let's go ahead and get into this one. DJ Tony. To the men's flyweight division we go. Your boy, Joby One Kenobi, back in action, Marco. Joseph Benavidez versus, as I mentioned, Mr. Figueroa. For the title, man, the 125-pound title. We were talking off-air, Marco, before we got on the show, Tony and I were. Maybe, Marco, we're feeling like this might be the last flyweight fight we see in the UFC. Let's not get into that too early, but what you got in the main event, brother? Because I think this is going to be a pretty good fight, 125 pounds.
So, full disclosure, I'm going to be super biased on this fight because back in 2014 on the Junkie Gathering, I personally met Joseph Benavidez and Megan Olivi. Sweet people. Dude, he's so cool, man. He's like one of the coolest dudes I met, dude. And Megan Olivi, his wife, so super sweet. No, it's not going to be the last flyweight fight we've ever seen because if Figueroa wins, it's good for the Brazilian market because they need Brazilian champions. And if Benavidez wins, he's a guy that is That is a guy that is willing to defend the title. And you guys saw an up-and-coming there on Flyway. And it's going to be a good title to have for this ESPN Plus and ESPN, a proper ESPN, and as a co-main or a self-fight on a big car in case of emergency, bring the Flyways to fill up a spot, you know? So, no, the Flyways are not going anywhere anytime soon. They've been rehired and all the Flyways that they let go, so they are recommitted to the division. They are also seeing the Chinese market blow up. You know, they already got that USC center out there in China. So they got plenty of freaking Flyways in that area of the world. So no, the Flyways are not going anywhere. I think there is a recommitment to the division that it's going to be a slower pace. And it's going to be this win that I expect him to. It's going to be a good placeholder of the title until we get somebody that we can groom to become a champion, you know? I think Joseph is the more complete fighter, the more experienced fighter. He has only lost to, you know, Dimitri Johnson, freaking homeboy Dominic Cruz, and he had one more loss, I don't remember who, but he beat the former champion that had to back Henry Cejudo. So, he got the better names on his mantle. He got the wrestling. You know, he got the Tivan Femel pedigree. He's also a good striker. He got knockout power. He got cardio for days. I don't say Figueredo cannot win. He's a good striker, and he's a more older. But I think experience and a championship grid are going to carry the day for Benavidez. I see Benavidez finishing Figueredo. Then Joe Jitsu is going to show up. We're going to those crazy guillotines on the fourth round, and we're going to see Figueredo tapping out to a crazy Joby Wan Kenobi. How many more nicknames this motherfucker got? guillotine. So give me Benavidez and the third ever flyweight champion on the history of the division, and well deserved. Joseph Benavidez, fourth round submission.
Fourth round sub for Marco, for Benavidez. Now, Marco, just a couple of things before we throw to DJ Tony for his pick. You mentioned the need for Brazilian champions. You also brought up Henry Cejudo. A couple of things here. Henry Cejudo, thank God he gave up this title and allowed the division to move on. Secondly, what's going on with Cejudo and Aldo, man? Seriously, do they really need, butts in the seats that much in Brazil? What a travesty that is, brother.
Look, I'm not really that mad because he's giving Joel Romero a title shot to give Jose Aldo, that was actually a champion and a long-reigning champion at that, a crack at another belt. I'm no crying foul. I know it's not the ideal situation. In a perfect world, I would love to see Peter Young or Aljamain Sterling fighting for the title. But, when you get lemons, make lemonade. And they needed a main event for the pay-per-view in Brazil. In Sao Paulo, mind you, where who is the king of Sao Paulo? Jose Aldo.
Yeah.
And if Jose Aldo happened to become a two-belt title holder by beating Cejudo, he's going to do marvels for the market in Brazil again. Because right now, the only champion that is Brazilian from the UFC is Amanda Nunes. And the other two champions that don't really, Brazil doesn't give a fuck too much about them up there in Brazil are Pitbull and freaking Douglas Lima up on Bellator. They don't really care about them up there. They only care about the UFC champion. So you can find a way to recrown Jose Aldo as a bantamweight champion now. It's going to do marvels not only for the Jose Aldo franchise in Brazil, but the market itself up there. And if Cejudo wins, he get a good name on his mantle. He already beat DJ Mighty Mouse. He beat TJ Dillashaw. Then you get Jose Aldo on your mantle. That's some good names to have. To build your legacy, you need names. Nobody, 20 years from now, nobody's going to remember what was the record of Jose Aldo. They're going to remember Henry Cejudo beat it. You know what I'm saying? So there you go.
All right, DJ Tony, sorry for that sidetrack, but I thought it was important to note before we got into your pick. Now, DJ Tony, I'm going to go ahead and give you the odds here, brother. Joseph Benavidez, Joby Wan Kenobi coming at us as the favorite right now at a minus 145. DJ Tony and Figueredo coming back at us at a plus 125. Just give me quickly, am I saying his name correctly, DJ Tony?
Figueredo, yes, sir.
Yeah, okay, great. Close enough. Yeah.
Davidson, we need work on.
Yeah, I wasn't touching that one, brother. I wasn't touching it. So what you got in the main event, brother?
I think yelling anything that's big for the flyweight division is probably inaccurate when the tallest fighter there is 5'4". But I'll say this, though, guys. I am. I'm sorry, guys. I am sorry. But if someone weighs less than the beautiful Misha Tate, who's a dime piece and a half, I'm sorry. It's kind of hard to respect. But I'll say this. The UFC has 14 signed flyweights right now. I understand what Marco's saying, but I just don't see it, guys. I think this might be the last ever, if not maybe one title defense after all 10 viewers of this card log off.
Yeah.
But I think what they're doing is Megan Olivi a solid. And I say Megan Olivi. I think Joseph Benavidez has been a solid citizen for the UFC. Solid citizen for MMA, really. I think he generally might be a good guy. He hasn't had a finish, guys, in 6 years. Let me repeat that. Hasn't had a finish in 6 years in terms of submission. You know, he now fancies himself after seven decisions as a puncher. I think Joseph Benavidez is probably the guy they want to win in this division. I think Joseph Benavidez has the best chance of winning, but he hasn't done it, guys, when it really matters. Last time he had a title defense, I think he was so emotional that he started getting choked up and broke down, right, publicly. I think everyone wants Joseph Benavidez to win. I want Joseph Benavidez to win. I think Davidson Figueiredo is not going to knock him out in the second round. Davidson Figueiredo breaking everybody's heart. Second round, TKO via punches.
Boom!
All right, so DJ DJ Tony going with Figs in the second round, TKO.
Ooh, that's a
good one. The last time you like that? All right, so the last time, DJ Tony, you were on an island, which was, of course, last weekend, you handed us our asses. But I'm going to put you out on that island again. Marco, I think I'm going with my heart on this one. You know, I've been campaigning for Joseph Benavidez to have been getting this title shot, especially when, you know, we had two losses to the champion, you know, at the time, and I was still campaigning that he should, you know, get another crack at it because he had beaten everybody they put in front of him. Yes, Tony, he's gone a couple of many decisions. But, I mean, we see that a lot with the guys that are near the top or that are contending for a championship that really want to keep their spot. They don't really take a lot of risks or chances. This one, though, guys, I think is going to be a really good fight. I think the Figs is going to take it to Benavidez. You know, he's got that knockout power, Marco, and, you know, Benavidez is going to have to use his footwork, get out the way, maybe also utilize his wrestling game, the ground and pound. I think that, you know, the submissions are there, but I think that Figs is going to be, you know, kind of up to date with that. You know, the Brazilians always kind of have, you know, at least a competent ground game and no slouch here as well. So I, too, am going to take Benavidez, but I am actually going to take him, DJ Tony, by the decisionator that he is, and I'm going to take decision. Joseph Benavidez.
Gimmick and finish,
all
man.
Five rounds again. What's that, brother?
Gimmick and finish, man. Gimmick and finish, man.
I still didn't understand you.
Gimmick and finish, man. The decision for my strength. I think I solved though, so it's okay. It is allowed.
Apologize for that one. Guys, as I mentioned, we're flying through this card fast already, so maybe the rewind will take a bit more time out of the show, but it's probably going to be a short one again. So let's go ahead and DJ Tony and throw to everyone's favorite segment of the show, Spotlight Fight of the Night. Now, DJ Tony, since Pamela is not here today, I'm going to go ahead and start with you on this one. Again, I think I know where you're going on this one, but what's your spotlight fight of the night, brother?
Well, guys, I'm looking at this card, and boy, it's deep. I'm looking, you know, Ismael, Narodiv, Cruz, Jordan Griffin. So I'm looking at... That's right, guys. To the 6 foot, 145 we go. The beautiful Megan Anderson. And she will... It doesn't matter who she's fighting. I have no idea who Norma Dumont Viana is. No offense to Norma Dumont Viana. I'm taking Megan Anderson via second round TKO because she's powerful, she's long, and boy, those legs. Shout out to Megan Anderson.
I'm not so close, sorry, but... motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly. All right, DJ Tony, I got all of that except for the method, please. Second round.
Second round via long limbs of Megan Anderson.
Submission.
TKO. She's a power striker. Yeah.
Thank you.
No,
that's what I was asking for. All right. Marco, let's throw it to you. What's your spotlight fight of the night on this particular deep card, like you, Tony said, UFC Fight Night 169?
I was going to pick Felicia Spencer, but that's boring. I'm going to go with the heavyweights. Marcin Tybura versus Spasek. Somebody's going to get knocked out. I don't know who Spasek is, but I know Marcin Tybura. I said, Marcin Tybura knocked this suit out. It's going to be a sloppy heavyweight fight. Spasek getting the canvas on the first round. Give me Marcin Tybura by knockout on the first, man.
Okay. Marco going quick there on that one, taking Tybura first round KO. All right, guys, I mean, there are a couple of that I considered for this particular spotlight fight of the night. The violent Bob Ross is on this card. But I'm taking the Ion Kutalaba fight versus one of the Evs, Megamed Ankalev. I think I'm saying that correctly. My apologies if I'm not. Quickly, let me give you guys the odds before I go any further. No one reminded me. Megan Anderson is the favorite, minus 230. Marco... Tybura is the favorite right now at a plus 100. Oh, no, sorry. Sergey Spivak is the favorite and a minus 120. Tybura coming back at us at a plus 100. I'm going to take the Kutalaba fight. He's going, like I said, going against one of the Evs. Megamed is at a minus 230 right now. So, you know, huge favorite right now against Kutalaba. I think this is going to be an interesting, not co-main event, but co-main event. Two guys that like to throw down. And, of course, when you go against the Ovs, you can't pick against the Ovs. So I'm going to take the Ov on this one at the minus 230. I'm going to take him second round TKO, probably by ground and pound, by the Ovs, Megamed. Thank you.
And this will be the feature match.
That's exactly it, Marco. That's exactly it. All right, guys, I think that brings UFC Fight Night 169 to an end. I don't have Pammy's pick, so she's not going to be included. So let's go and throw to Amp Radio Rewind.
Rewind.
All right, so the US or the Amp Radio Rewind today, of course, last week's fight card, UFC Fight Night. 168, also known as Felder versus Hooker. Before we get into it, DJ Tony, as I alluded to in the first segment of the show, you're standing alone on an island. You kicked our bums real bad. Pammy didn't even score a point this last past week, so congratulations to her. Marco, of course, you took your spotlight fight. We will get into that probably. At the last segment of the show, because it kind of ties into another topic that I want to get into that I discussed with you guys about what happened with Karolina Kowalkiewicz, KK, in her particular fight. So let's get into this main event first, Marco. Dan Hooker goes ahead and gets the decision as DJ Tony had prognosticated. I give him full points for that, full 3 points for that one. Of course, when we do a decision, everybody gets 3 points on that one if you get it correct. So, Marco, let's go and throw to you here. First of all, you know, DJ Tony and I talked about this fight via the text messaging. And we're just interested, you know, DJ Tony and I thought it a different way. Let's see what your scores were. And tell us a little bit what you thought about the fight, brother.
Okay, so super close fight, you know.
Yeah.
It was the only two rounds that were clear for this guy was round one for Hooker and round four for Felder. 2, 3, and 5 up in the air. That is what it was, a split decision. I am not mad whatsoever, a split decision. I personally thought that Felder got it. But
wow.
I can make an argument that it was 2-2 going into the fifth, and the last takedown it stole the round for Hooker. Now,
okay.
A lot of people
yeah.
say, oh, but he didn't do nothing with the takedown. But that wasn't just any takedown. It was a high amplitude takedown. It was a takedown with impact. He slammed Felder into the ground, and that actually counts for something. That is a count for damage, you know? Because of the impact and the authority he put Felder down, it make an impression on the judges. And when I saw that takedown, I said, oh, this is going to be easy. Like I said, I personally thought that Felder won it, but I'm not mad that Hooker did, because that last takedown got me worried, and I think that last takedown in the fifth was the one that made the difference. And if you see the compute strikes and stuff, it was super even, super, super even. These guys took a piece of each other on the fight. Felder said he might retire. No, he's not. I mean, already his camp is saying that was talking emotionally. He needs to take a break. You know, he's still ranked number 7, so he didn't fail. He only failed one spot. I don't know how in God grace he's behind Cerrone. He should be ahead of Cerrone, but it is what it is. Hooker got him to the number 5 spot. And, you know, there's bigger and better fights now for Hooker. You know, he's looking at the 5 horsemen of the apocalypse, you know, on Khabib, Tony, Gaethje, Conor, you know, this gets hard after now. Now we're talking about Poirier. And I would like to see that Poirier-Hooker fight. To tell you the truth, Poirier is there hanging on the wings. Maybe a Gaethje fight. I don't like that fight for him with Gaethje. I like him better with Poirier. And with a Felder, if he's available, a fight with Cerrone will make sense, you know? I mean, as we know, Cerrone is in a 3-fight losing streak. But he said he wants to fight on March or April, and that would be an entertaining fight, Felder versus Cerrone. I wouldn't be mad for that. So that's what I have to say about that.
Yeah, points, Marco, I think.
One more thing. Great night for City Kickboxing. They went 3-0 that night, too. So, wow. That, whatever they put it on the water out there on Auckland, New Zealand, keep drinking it because it's doing marbles for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, we're already hearing talk of Gym of the Year. I mean, I can't contend against that. It seems like they can do nothing but win right now, so good for them. DJ Tony, let's throw to you. Again, I think we kind of saw this one going a bit different than a split decision, and I listened to the Fight Companion after I watched the fight from Joe Rogan, and I don't know, I just kind of I see where they were coming from, DJ Tony, but let's throw to you. What did you think about this fight? Of course, very close fight. Both guys gave it all. What were your thoughts, brother?
I saw it exactly like Marco did. I had the first, second and third, I believe, or second and fourth round to Hooker. I saw it 2-2 going into the fifth. And then I saw the takedowns, and then that's what swayed me because, you know, Felder was wearing it, guys. Look at his face. I mean, he was tore up from the floor up. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And I know there's no such thing as home cooking, but I think there is such thing as home cooking. So I kind of knew it was going to go that route. Didn't know it would be a split. Didn't know it would be this close, and it was extremely close. I actually liked that fight that Marco just brought up too, the Cerrone versus Felder. I actually liked that a lot.
Yeah.
Word for word, I mean, you know, Luke Thomas I think said the same thing, right? That there's something in the water down there, but. Listen, I think this is a major fall for Felder, guys. I mean, I know that you're saying he's ranked sixth or seventh, but I think he's now at least 2 years behind from getting anywhere near the title. I know that he's walking it back, saying that he's not going to retire. I think he needs to, because Dana White has said it, and not just him. Numerous people, if you have 1 foot out the door, just leave. And I think he has a career commentating or doing something else. I think it's time for Felder to hang it up, guys.
Yeah. Hey, no. One thing, though, never make a decision just after
right.
you lost emotionally on the cage. Always you have to have
no,
some time
right.
to think about it. Because most of the retirements on the cage don't really amount
yeah.
to too much. I mean, the only one I think that actually followed through with the retirement on the cage was Misha Tate. She retired on the cage and she stayed retired. Everyone else is
mm-hmm.
not going back. So, you know what? About the home cooking real quick, all the judges on the George Sack fight were not from New Zealand. But I think there is an effect of the home crowd, because they reacted huge every time Hooker did anything. And whether you like it or not, judges are subjective. And when they give this reaction, what consciously or unconsciously, it will influence them, you know? So they might think, oh, yeah, he's doing more because, you know, the crowd is reacting better to it, you know? Even if they're not thinking about
right.
it, in the back of their head, the reaction might be influencing their decision. So I will not call it home cooking, but I will call it crowd boiling.
Well, listen, I didn't have a problem with the way the decision went. In my opinion, I didn't really see it going split. I thought that Felder really did work hard and was chasing a lot. In the first three rounds, he was definitely chasing Hooker. And listen, Felder was definitely hitting Hooker with some big power shots, no doubt about it. And you know, Hooker has, you know, a serious chin on him for sure. And of course the leg kicks, the low calf kicks that that Hooker was throwing on Felder not only took a great deal out of Felder, but as we saw, as Felder started to check some of those low calf kicks in the late second, early third, when the kicks from Hooker started to stop, you could see that, you know, Hooker was definitely feeling them as well. Of course, Felder was also throwing back at Hooker those low calf kicks as well. So doubling up the pain, of course, Felder, as I think I mentioned, checking some of those low calf kicks as well. So, you know, that's got to hurt when you take a shin right to the foot.
I like Hooker's job a lot. Hooker's job was freaking
Yeah, awesome. Hooker's yeah, exactly. And not only that, but he was landing the jab and getting out of the way. I thought the footwork, Marco, by Hooker was great. Now, I did mention the Joe Rogan podcast, and they were saying, you know, kind of throwing back to the John Jones fight, the conversation we had about that fight with Octagon Control. I didn't see it the same way. I saw that Felder was definitely chasing, but I did not think that Felder was controlling the Octagon, because he was following. He wasn't cutting Hooker off at all.
Yeah, me neither.
He was
good,
just
good point.
Following him around, right? So there's a difference between Octagon Control and following a guy around. Now, as I mentioned, the end of the third, or the halfway through the third, and definitely in the fourth round, you give that to Felder. Felder won that fourth round, and if he was able to do that in the fifth round with, you know, Hooker did try to tie up Felder in the near the end of the fourth round as well. And I thought to myself, geez, you know, we're going to see some more, you know, some of this wrestling game from Hooker. And I think Felder was just a little too tired to defend. Of course, gets that takedown at the end of the round. We know, Marco, that this is precedent. We have precedent for this. Never mind, you know, home crowd or anything like that. The judges see a takedown at the end of the round. That's definitely going to be around, especially for Hooker, especially because there wasn't a lot of action in that fifth. He Hooker did not want any more of Felder's stand-up. Go ahead.
Not all takedowns are created equal. Let's say if it was just a mat return.
Sure,
like when
I get it.
Lays Felder down, then Felder gets up, then it wouldn't have counted for much. But it was a high-active takedown. He picked Felder out, and he slammed it against the freaking canvas. So it is, like, visually impressive. It's like a knockdown. If you, like, hit somebody, you knock them out, a big slam takedown, it creates an impression on the judges. So like I said, not all takedowns are created equal, not all punches are created equal, and I think that is what actually edged it out.
Yeah. So, again, I didn't have a problem with the decision. I thought it was a very good fight, very entertaining. You know, I tend to agree with DJ Tony, and, of course, we mentioned this last week, that Felder has a job, you know, commentating. He does not need to go into an eight-week camp, fly to, you know, New Zealand and be away from his family for that long period of time. Look, we see how it affects John Anik, you know, a previous guest of the show, friend of the show. And, you know, he knows he doesn't want to be away from his children, and he's just commentating in North America now. So it does take it out of you, especially if you do have children. We all know what that's like, being away from them. Okay, guys, I think we spent enough time on that particular fight. Let's transition real quickly to the what I thought was another newsworthy fight, of course. I mentioned it at the top, Karolina Kowalkiewicz against Yan. And Yan handed KK her ass. Now, as I mentioned also, Marco, and this will tie into our next segment of the show, our next topic on this particular part of the Rewind, which is the Fury fight, your spotlight. Now, DJ Tony, again, called this one completely correct as well, had decision by Yan. Marco liked to show some glimmer of hope near the end of the third, but for the most part, just got it her ass handed to her. And, you know, Marco, we've talked about this on the show for a number of years, you know, the corners of the fighters having to protect their fighter. We saw it happen in the Tyson Fury fight. And apparently the MMA media, now that we've been talking about it for years, and they saw that this happened in the Fury fight quite recently, and of course we saw the beating that KK took, are talking about, you know, maybe we should see the corner throwing in the towel more for their fighters. Now, Marco, do you think this is an instance where we could have let KK not, you know, take so much damage in this particular fight? What were your thoughts on this fight, brother?
She did not belong with the Chinese kid in there. It's unbelievable how much she has regressed on her abilities. I mean, let's not be quiet about it. She's 35 years old. She's not getting any younger. Her abilities have diminished in an exponential degree. That fight should have been stopped by the end of the first, or at least at the end of the second, because she took unnecessary punishment. You know, the broken orbital of the first round, mind you, on the first round, she already got a broken orbital. And she even admits it on her post by Instagram that, she was, for the first time, she was, you know, hurt, not in a good way. This is her, like, fourth or fifth loss in a row. I think her rest with the UFC are over. She's going to get her pink slip. Hopefully, and I pray to God that she decides to hang it up, because it's not going to get any better if she goes to KSW or Bellator or Invicta. It's not going to get any better. The degree of her diminishing of her skills is outstanding. And if a girl that is, you know, not a name of the sport, but it's obviously a talent, like this Chinese girl, put a beating on her, all the up-and-coming talent, younger girls that are hungry to win, are going to do the same to her. So, it's time to probably hang it up. I've been very, very honest. It's time for Karolina Kowalkiewicz to hang it up. Her prime, fight prime is over. And all she got up there is to get beat up. It's not a good look, man. Now, if we want to talk about Fury and Wilder, we can do it later, because I want to hear Tony's opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get into that one next. Okay, so DJ Tony, again, I mentioned you got this fight correct on your spotlight fight last week. What were your thoughts on all of the topics, brother?
Well, one thing that we know, and I forgot what show I heard this on, so just bear with me here. But I think Karolina Kowalkiewicz has a serious autoimmune disease that has made her go vegan, et cetera. So that might have been something with the why her game hasn't progressed like everybody else's. But also, I think, remember when she got KO'd by Andrade? I don't think she's been the same since, guys, because she was brutally KO'd. And I think Karolina Kowalkiewicz, you know, Marco's right. Her age, I think her autoimmune disease, four straight losses, guys, and it hasn't even been close. I think that's it for KK and the UFC. So, and don't know what this means for her career, but I think that's it for her in the UFC, guys.
Yeah, I think you're correct. I think we've talked about the concerns with KK before. You know, one thing that it concerned me, I think, was, you know, a couple of years ago now I brought this up on the show. You know, Carolina was in an interview and saying, you know, her partner is definitely wanting to, you know, start a family. And she maybe that person was putting some pressure on KK. And I think when we've seen it, when your brain isn't 100% in the fighting, you're not 100% into fighting. Yes, TJ Tony, you know, a serious autoimmune disease definitely will take its toll on one's body. But I think that, like you guys have been saying, I think, you know, these divisions are very shallow. They need someone like KK in the division. But one in this particular fight, yes, her corner could have thrown in the towel. I think Marco, like you said, definitely, you know, midway through the second, no problem. I don't think we really needed to see much more of what was happening in the cage. I think, you know, we have to protect these tough fighters from themselves. And I think 100% the ref could have stopped this fight, man. I mean, it wasn't close. It wasn't two different skill levels.
The ref, the doctor, the corner, anybody could have stopped this fight.
Yeah. Anybody could have stopped this fight. I mean, and, you know, we talked about, and we'll get into this in the next round or the next segment of the show. You know, that's why Fury's corner threw in the towel. They wanted to protect their fighter from extra brain damage. Carolina Kovacevic. Sorry, Wilder. Yes, my apologies. I have Fury written down here on my page. That's why I apologize. I think we could have saved Carolina, you know, 1.5 to 2 rounds of punishment at the end of the first when her orbital was broken. You know, why do we subject these fighters to do this to themselves? I know they want to do it. They want to continue. They have the chance of you know, getting either half their paycheck or their full paycheck if they win. So she could have possibly pulled something off, but she didn't. And I just think we really have to look at this in our sport. We really have to be able to protect the fighters from themselves, and the corners definitely need to consider what's best for their fighters. We saw this recently with Showtime with Anthony Pettis. You know, Duke Rufus threw in the towel there. I mean, that's quite recently. That's a coach that cares about, and of course, his fighter. And of course, I think we saw this back in the day with Nate Marquardt as well. So it has happened in our sport, needs to happen more. Thank you, MMA Media, for finally paying attention to it. Let's move on to the next.
You know who we needed here? We needed the doctor from New York that stopped the fight with Nate Diaz. We needed
good
him
one.
Here.
That's a good one.
That is a good one. Yeah. If this fight was in New York, I guaranteed it would have gotten stopped. All right. Thank you, DJ Tony. Let's move swiftly into the next subject because I want to wrap this show up, and I'm sure you guys have a lot to say about the boxing. Listen, guys, I tried to watch. I'm not a boxing fan. I'm just going to say that straight up. I started watching the first 2 minutes of this fight, and I had to turn it off. I just don't find boxing interesting. But, Marco, I know you and Tony were into this, so let's go ahead and get into it. Marco, what do you got?
So, back in the day, I was a huge boxing fan. And now, slowly but surely, I'm going back to it. And don't get me wrong, my first love is MMA, but I'm going to have a side piece on boxing. When they got something interesting to watch, I will. And this was something to watch. It was a spectacle. I like the entrances because, you know, they remind me of Pride Never Dying, whatever. You know, Bellator does it like that, the magnificent entrances. I think it was fun. The COVID is a little slow, whatever. The fight itself, though, there is no surprise. Wilder didn't get exposed. We all know he's not, like, the better boxer. I mean, Luis Ortiz was kicking his ass before Luis Ortiz got knocked out on the 7th round. Tyson Fury beat the Wilder for 10 rounds on the last fight, and because he got knocked down twice, they call it a draw. He won the last fight, too. Tyson Fury is the better boxer here, today, yesterday, tomorrow. If they fight 100 times, Tyson Fury wins 100 times. The great equalizer for Deontay Wilder is a right hand. But I've seen Deontay Wilder face does better when he faces people that are not his same size or bigger. And Tyson Fury was just bigger, with the longer reach, the bigger mass. And then I didn't like the fact that Deontay Wilder gained 19 pounds for this fight. He was 231 pounds. Tyson Fury gained 17 pounds, but as a proportion of his body mass at his height, that was less weight that he had to carry. And then walking around into the freaking ring with a 40-pound freaking Dr. Shredder freaking outfit, whatever. The better fighter was Tyson Fury. He left no doubt about it. And Matt Brittle, the cornerman for freaking Deontay Wilder, did him a favor on the 7th, dude, by throwing the towel. Yeah. It is a shame that Matt Brittle is getting fired because, you know, Deontay Wilder did not want him to throw the towel. And all the ass kissers that are, you know, the Jets fan that he's surrounding himself with are not going to do him any favors. They get the immediate rematch. They already said they're going to probably fight in July or at the latest in October. So they're going to make $30 million again each. And it makes sense. I mean, you don't say no to $30 million, but the result is not going to be any difference. He's not going to find the magic pill in 6 to 8 months to make out the boxing proficiency to defeat Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury is going to probably beat him at worse the next time, get his money, and early next year of 2021, he's going to fight Anthony Joshua. The Gypsy King is the best heavyweight boxer in the world, but I'm going to send a big shout out to Max Kellerman on the ESPN pre-fight broadcast, recognizing that the baddest man on the planet is not the boxing heavyweight champion, but the UFC heavyweight champion because of the level of experience they have to dominate. Shout outs to Max Kellerman. Love what he said. Love it.
Yeah, big shout out there. Finally getting recognized on the mainstream. This sport is vital. DJ Tony, your thoughts?
Well, boxing is my first love, right? I mean, that's what I was first. That's the first sport, combat sport that I got placed into, not because I wanted to, because I was forced to by my parents.
Again, with Dick and Petey's Coach MMA.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. But I got to be honest, guys, I drank the Kool-Aid. I was all in. I thought I bought into the hype. I thought it was all Deontay Wilder. I thought all he needed was to throw that big right and it was going to be over. That's not what we saw. We saw a better fighter, guys, altogether. I don't know if the weight had anything to do with it, let alone the costume that weighed like 40 pounds. That was the excuse, Proteus. The excuse was that the costume weighed too much, so he got worn out before he got to the ring.
I heard.
Take that for what it's worth, but yeah, I mean, if you saw it, and I saw it, man, it wasn't even close. I was shocked, Marco. Literally, I was shocked because I bought into the hype. It wasn't even close, guys. I mean, the boxing skills are just incredible. And that, now, whether or not we see Joshua versus Fury, I doubt it. But you know, there's also the clause, right, for a rematch. I hope we don't see that, because I think it's going to be the same thing.
They already
did
he? They invoked it.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
2 days later. Yeah, he did on Monday. So the rematch is happening. Yeah, you don't say no to a $30 million payday. You don't say no to that. No. And then
but Marco, if he loses again.
If
he loses again, Marco, that's it, though, right?
He banned $25 million for this fight plus pay-per-view. Plus pay-per-view. The guarantee money was $25 million. He's going to make close to $30 million of guarantee money for the next fight plus pay-per-view. He's going to walk even if he loses, he got generational money, $100 million in the bank to retire, him and his children and his children's children. But now, he thinks he's not going to lose because he's a fighter, Deontay Wilder. But he will. I don't see the fight going anyway. But you do not say no to that amount of money, dude. It's too much. It's too much money to say no to. And if you don't take the fight now, you run the risk of Fury, you know, fighting someone else and losing, or you, the anti-wilder, fighting someone else and losing, and then that money guarantee goes away.
All right, guys. Yeah,
that's a good point.
Just real quickly to wrap this particular subject up, because I want to get out of here. I thought it was interesting that when Fury was saying that, you know, he had figured Wilder out in the, you know, the 12th round of the last fight. He knew that if he pushed him backwards and made him fight on his heels, that it, he didn't know how to do that, that Wilder did not know how to do that. And from what I've saw, what I've seen is that, yes, Fury was definitely the more talented, skilled fighter. Yes, Wilder's corner did do him a favor, Marco, but we all knew by the reaction of Wilder that, you know, that was what was going to happen, unfortunately. So let's go ahead and look forward to next week, UFC 248, March 7th. That's a big one. Adesanya versus Romero. Guys, let's go ahead and get out of here for this week. DJ Tony, I think you gave away your Twitter follow of the week. Give us that or give us a guilty pleasure, whatever you got. Cue that music, too. Get out of here.
My guilty pleasure, guys, is going to be us. I've been listening to a lot of us, guys, and last week's show was one of the smoothest shows that we've ever had, like literally zero edits. So shout out to Proteus on that. So my guilty pleasure is our show, another MMA cast, Amp Radio, and my Twitter follow of the week, guys, @Megan_MMA. I forgot what her Twitter follow is. You want to follow her.
Absolutely, positively we do. This week, I'm going to recommend to you guys John Wick 1, the original, the best of them all, I think.
Fantastic.
I'm rewatching it right now. Rewatching it right now, right before the show came on, I was watching it. Still the best one, still very intriguing. I want to thank you very much for your kind words. Yes, DJ Tony, these shows, we've got a great chemistry with the Fighting Four, and it's always nice to talk to you guys. So have a great week. Enjoy the fights. Marco, get us out of here, brother.
There you go. My guilty pleasure this week is a show on HBO called The Outsiders. It's a horror series. It's not for the faint of heart. It's super, super. It's harsh, man. But it's
It's on
really
HBO,
good.
Correct?
It's on HBO. HBO Go, HBO Max. Whatever it's your platform, you guys, you will find it. Follow Tony at DJ Tony. Follow me at Maldo Marco. Follow Professor Aperio. Follow Pana Pandora Box. We meet you this week, fam. Follow the show at Another MMA Cast. We're on reviewers, Knuckleheads. We are on Google Play, Spotify, Apple iTunes, Apple Podcasts. You name it, we're there. Black Talk Radio. Look, great weekend of fights last week. A lighter taste of fights this weekend, but we got the flyweight championship of the world in the UFC. Go, Joseph Benavidez. We're going to lead you guys. Catch you guys next week. Enjoy the fights.
And just like that, DJ Tony.
Oh, right on the money. How about that, Proteus?
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers. Fuck you, Cody! Fuck you!